Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Olin Krutz, Score football analyst.
Bias towards offensive line. By that I mean find you an excuse of why an offensive lineman missed the block or why their job is hard.
Chicago Bears legend, 6-time Pro Bowl center.
You talk about one of the greatest leaders I've ever been around. From football to the weight room to life, now he's in radio and he has the same passion.
Olin Krutz, every week with Mully and Haw. He probably doesn't like you, but he loves to talk Bears with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. That's Olin's ringtone. I think when he gets a call, at least that's the way I like to think of it. Olin Krutz joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Olin, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. Good morning. How are you?
We are all pumped up. You did a great job of explaining on the post-game show some of the things you saw that Matt Eberflus adjusted with his defense at halftime. Can you please share that with our audience?
I think a lot of it was, he widened the techniques of the defensive line. I won't bore the audience with that technical of a breakdown, but they went a little wider. They gave him some different looks. They confused Levis and the offensive front. Obviously, the Titans losing their right guard, Radunes, did not help them at all, right? So the Bears were really smart. They put some guys on the backup right guard for the Titans, and they got pressure there. But really just kind of widening their techniques of their defensive linemen. They played a couple of wide nines there. Moved Billings out, who played a lot of three technique. I heard you guys talking about that earlier. Let Biggs break that down. I think he had kind of a nugget before the game that might happen. So they were playing right and left and not really three technique and nose guard. The Bears were. It was a good job by Coach Eberflus. He is an elite play caller on defense, guys. And he went against Bill Callahan, We talked about in the pregame, Bill Callahan, the offensive line coach, obviously a Chicago guy for the Tennessee Titans. His son was born in Champaign, Illinois. Brian Callahan, the head coach. Coach Eberflus won the second half with his guys. Now his secondary does allow him to do a lot of things, guys. He can play cover one. He can play cover three. He can play cover two. He can do whatever he wants up there with his front because his secondary will cover on the back end. Now, as you guys probably remember, before the block punt, Levis did miss Calvin Ridley down the sideline wide open. So, you know, that obviously is something to worry about here. He ran by Tyreek Stevenson, but he still got to make the throw. And so Coach Eberflus did a lot of nice little tinkering with his defense at halftime. Him and Eric Washington, nice job coming out there, shutting down the Titans offense. And obviously then the Bears special teams, you know, had a really, really big game with the block punt. And then DeAndre Carter with his returns made a big difference in the game.
Olin, let's evaluate the offensive line, which remains kind of shaky right now. Mm-hmm. What did you think of the rotation at right guard? What did it say about Nate Davis? And how would you evaluate the play of Coleman Shelton?
They struggled yesterday, right? I think everyone saw that Coleman Shelton now went up against T'Vondre Carter. I heard you guys talking about T'Vondre Sweat. I heard you guys talking about that on the show earlier this morning, how tough of a block he was. And we had Keith Bullock on the pregame show in the morning, and he told us how T'Vondre Sweat absolutely dominated Lloyd Cushenberry in camp, which had me worried going into the game because I had saw that in the pregame. I'd watched him at University of Texas, and I was a little worried about him. Anyway, we didn't see Jeffrey Simmons. He was out for five games at the end of last year. He didn't play at all at preseason, so I thought to myself, man, if this guy dominated Lloyd Cushenberry in camp, right, what's he going to do to Coleman Shelton in this game and with Jeffrey Simmons back? And that's exactly kind of what happened. Now, it wasn't just Coleman Shelton, now, guys. He was beating the hell out of Tevin Jenkins, too, right? So he beat him a lot. You know, on the first pass that you would say Caleb Williams missed, T'Vondre Sweat ran over Tevin Jenkins in the middle of the line there and put pressure on Caleb Williams. So he was just a handful for the inside three of the Chicago Bears yesterday. So watching that game, you're hoping that it was just they went against this elite defensive line on the inside, and you're hoping they have a bounce back game coming up here against the Texans. But they struggled inside. Obviously, you don't want to keep changing your right guard. If you're playing two right guards, it means you don't have one right guard, right? They would try to run, I think it was like a boot screen to the left when Caleb took that 19-yard sack, and Nate Davis kind of just runs by T'Vondre Carter, who crossed. They call it a return stunt. He crossed across Coleman Shelton's face. And I got to be honest with you, if I'm a O-line coach on the sideline, I see that kind of effort on the play, I might go to my backup right guard also.
I'm curious, Olin, when we talk about Will Levis, you know, the guy, 19 of 32, 127 yards, he did throw a touchdown. And you look at Caleb Williams, 14 of 29, 93 yards. Unsurprisingly, no touchdowns. Unsurprisingly, Levis has a 52.5 rating to 55.7 for Caleb because he threw an interception. And when you throw an interception, you are really punished by that quarterback rating. And I agree with that. And the one thing that Caleb didn't do was he held on to the ball. And I know there were very tense moments, and there were a couple of times where you thought that wasn't going to be the case, but that ends up being a deciding factor in the game.
Yeah, the deciding factor. Yes. And for the former offensive lineman, when you show on TV Will Levis scream at his offensive line and then roll to his left a little too much and throw the game ending, what ended up being the difference making pick six. I mean, he went to throw it, and then I think Walker had him in his grasp. The Bears ran a zone blitz. Kyler Gordon coming from the right, pressure Levis a little bit to his left. And I think that was who actually had a really good game, Darrell Taylor, right? The late signing for the Chicago Bears. He dropped into like a zone blitz in the flat there on the left side of the field. And you know, so he's covering that area. And then he just kind of, I don't know, you know what Levis did. He just flipped it out there to Tyreek Stevenson, and we scored a touchdown. And like you're saying, that was a difference maker in the game. So Caleb Williams did take a 19-yard sack. There were some times where these interceptions were a little close, right? They could have happened. you know, on the Tevin Jenkins fumble. There are a couple other throws out there, but they didn't. They didn't happen, and he didn't make any really bad plays like that, although you do worry about some of the running around and taking a 19-yard sack and things like that. It wasn't a great game, but if you're digging for positives in the Bears' offensive game plan, that was it for Caleb Williams, not to turn the ball over. Ends up being a difference, gives his team a chance to win the game.
You can find positives, but if you're looking at it just objectively, Olin, when you come out of this game and your quarterback had the kind of performance that Caleb Williams did in his debut, how do you process that, and how do you improve his play?
Well, first of all, there are things that plays that could have been made, right? I just talked about the Keenan Allen. He missed him, and then Keenan Allen, you guys remember at the end of the – I think it was at the end of the first half, you know, when they talk about – when it's time to be special, right? It says 2-minute drive, it's third down, which they were terrible on third down yesterday. Obviously, the offense was terrible all day. But a 2-minute drive, Keenan Allen did drop that pass in the end zone. I think Keenan Allen will tell you he's got to make that catch, right? And then right there, that's 14 more points for the Chicago Bears against the Tennessee Titans. And I think they'll point to things like that, right? And Caleb's got to be a little more accurate on his throws. He's got to get the ball out a little sooner. A lot of things you say about rookie quarterbacks when you watch them play. And we talked about on the postgame show yesterday, when you watch that offense play, one of the things it's hard to do, David, is a lot of people watch film, but you got to be able to see things. You got to be able to see on film what you actually have to do. And you can't let practice and preseason fool you. And you have to be able to say, okay, that worked in practice. But look, in the game, something like that isn't going to work. And I talked about when I watched Hard Knocks, not when Coach was getting his hair done, but when he was talking to Caleb about, you know, about his play, that he asked Caleb, you know, what did you notice about playing in this preseason game? And he said, I noticed practice was harder than the games. And if I was there, David, with 14 years in the NFL, I would have whispered, no, it's not. Right? No, it's not. Trust me. It's not harder than the games. The NFL, these guys are coming to play. These guys are coming to hit you. The windows are a lot tighter. These guys play a lot faster football. And the way you improve is you sit in there, you honestly watch the film, and you say, look, this is what I need to get better at. This is how I got to get better. And to be honest, I think he did a good job in the game yesterday holding his composure. He kept playing the game. You know, I didn't see a lot. Obviously, I can't see a lot of sideline on the TV, but they seem to hang in there. But the offense, guys, the offense never, ever got going yesterday. There wasn't a lot good that came out. I think they tried to spread the field later in the second quarter, in the second half, just and put DJ Moore backside one-on-one with Ladarius Sneed, and that kind of cleared up the field there. I think there was one good pass on a second and 14 back there to DJ Moore. But other than that, there wasn't a lot good going on besides maybe Swift's hurdle of the defender late in the game. This offense as a whole, the good thing is they all have to improve. They all have to do a lot better than they did yesterday. But you get the win. You enjoy the win. It's Victory Monday. You know, everything is a little better after victory. Everybody can be coached a little more. They're a little more receptive to it. But a lot of these guys have to play better football for this offense to look better against the Houston Texans.
This segment with Olin Krutz is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Plumbing Emergency. Call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. Olin, we kind of expected exactly what we saw in terms of Tennessee trying to keep Caleb in the pocket, trying to make sure that he wasn't making plays by, you know, running out and doing what that play he made to DJ Moore, where he threw an absolute pill while running to his right. They were trying to limit that, and they batted down some passes and they got pressure on him. And I'm just wondering, where is he at as a pocket passer, and what does he have to show you? You played at one point with one of the greatest ever to do that, despite maybe height limitations, and in Drew Brees. How do you become better at that? What does it take to prevent sort of those batted down passes, et cetera?
It's simple, right? Not simple. It's not simple to do, but how do you get better at it is you turn this film on and you watch, right? You watch the windows in the NFL. You watch how quickly the ball actually has to come out. You got to find angles. I remember, you know, it's an interesting thing when I was watching the game yesterday, guys, because I was thinking, do the Bears now, if you guys remember when the Saints had Drew Brees, in New Orleans, they would always beef up the middle of their offensive line. They always had really good guards.
Yep.
And they would tell, even when I was there, they would tell us, they wanted us to be really aggressive on pass protection. They didn't care much about the outside guys. They wanted the inside guys to keep the defensive linemen on the line of scrimmage, right? They wanted us to be aggressive. Almost, they call it like a creep and or jump set. It's an aggressive set where you keep the D linemen on the line of scrimmage and you're always trying to keep their hands down. You know, we call it as an offensive lineman, you say to punish the jumper. You punish the jumper or you punish the spinner. And that just means when they jump, you make them pay for it, right? And you're always ready for it. But I was watching the Bears and I thought to myself, man, do they have to pour money into the center of their offensive line like the New Orleans Saints used to do, have all pro guards and Jari Evans and Carl Nix, big, strong guys who keep guys at the line of scrimmage. So your quarterback, so some of this may just be eventually they have to build themselves that way, Mully. But other than that, for Caleb, right, you watch his film, you go over how they attacked you, how they kept you in the pocket. You know, there were throws to Romes Odunze that looked inaccurate. There was a throw on the right side of the field to Keenan Allen where Keenan kind of settled in the zone. I thought he was where he was supposed to be, and Caleb threw him into the coverage a little bit. So I think he'll see all those things, you know, and go over it with his quarterback coach and his offensive coordinator, and they'll go over those things and they'll work out in practice. And now, guys, they have live film. Right now, your preseason, Bill Belichick was trying to warn everybody that what he saw in preseason, he didn't like. He didn't like how accurate he was. He didn't like he didn't even think the plays were that great. That's because Coach Belichick knows what he's looking at when he turns the film on. It's always fun to me when a guy who wins all those rings says something and a bunch of people on Twitter and stuff say, aha, coach, that's just coach being coach. No, no, no. He knows what he's looking at when he turns the film on, guys, right? He knows what he's looking at. Now the Bears have to take an honest, clear-eye view look at what they see on film, what worked, what didn't work, and they have to work their pass game accordingly. And now if you're a coach, it's a little bit easier, especially after a win, Mully, to turn the film on and say, now look, this is what I was trying to tell you in practice. You're holding the ball a little too long. Let's clean our footwork up a little bit. This is what I was trying to tell you in practice. You got to find the windows. These D linemen will jump. They're going to get their hands up. I think I should hear Bill Belichick used to have rakes or brooms or something for Tom Brady. So he had to find a way to throw around those kind of things. So they got to get creative at practice, make you work on that kind of stuff. And that's just the NFL, guys. The NFL is they're going to find what you're weak at and make you do it. And you got to adjust to that. And that's what the great players do. And I can't wait to watch Caleb Williams' improvement as this year goes on.
Only the defense has 3 fourth quarter takeaways, scores a touchdown. That's the game winner. Special teams blocks a punt, scores a touchdown. Defense and special teams carried the offense on a day where they needed to be carried. We've seen this before. I thought it was an ode to 2006. You've played in games like that. But afterward, the consensus is, well, you know what? Good teams win these kind of games. Are the Bears a good team?
Are the Bears a good team after week one? They're 1-0. They didn't, you know, they looked about what I thought going into the year, you know, a little bit of above 500 and maybe a playoff team with that last playoff spot, right? I thought that's what they looked like yesterday when I watched them play. Now, I know everyone likes to do this, and the defense was really good, but in 2006, we did average 20-something plus points a game, but that's okay. We won't get into all of that stuff. If you want to check the playoff games, they're all in the 30s, but that's okay. We won't get into all of that. 2005, you're probably right, but most of the time here, David, you were right. 2001, we do know that story that we watched yesterday, right? Devin Hester scoring touchdowns, the defense getting takeaways, scoring points, giving you good field position. That was the only thing that was disappointing of that game yesterday was with a good field position, we never scored a touchdown, right? But we talked about Keenan Allen's drop there, and I'm sure Keenan, the professional he is. I tell you what, man, that guy runs one hell of an out route. He is fun to watch. Work. And that's the thing about the Bears offense, guys. There are guys on that field where when you turn the film on and watch them, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Swift, they are elite, man. When you watch them do the things that they do and do their craft, I mean, Keenan Allen's route running, if you enjoy football, and look, this is an offensive lineman saying this, right? If you enjoy football, you enjoy watching that guy run routes. DJ Moore, man, you know, he catches that ball late in the fourth quarter, makes guys missing runs. He's beating Snead, who's a great cornerback. So the Bears have some weapons. It's not like before, David and Mully, where you turn the film on and you say, man, where the hell do you go with this ball, right? Who's going to make the play that they got to make. No, there's guys on that field who can beat people one-on-one. There's guys on that field who can make the big plays that you need to make. So I'm not as – usually when you watch a Bears film like that years past, sometimes years when I played, you don't see anybody you can go through with the ball. You don't see where they're going to get better. You just don't see it. With this offense, I got to be honest with you guys, I don't see that yet. I see a lot of guys who can make plays. I see a lot of ways to beat other teams. I think Shane Waldron and them get into that meeting room with Caleb and say, man, just get the ball in these guys' hands, right? Just put it in their hands. Put it in their hands accurately, which Caleb can do. Find the windows at the line of scrimmage. This offense still has the potential we thought they had going into this game. You can't be too happy about the performance you saw yesterday. I don't think anybody is. But when you turn the film on, there's guys who can beat guys one-on-one. And I'll tell you this, in years past, you turn the film on, I wouldn't say it on the radio, but I turn the radio off, walk out, talk to my wife and say, man, I don't know how the Bears get better. Like, I don't know how they beat people. I don't know where you throw the damn ball, right? But here in week one, I will tell you, I turned this film on, and they got some good football players on that offense. The first live game together, hoping that's what it was. Get this going a little bit.
Great stuff, Olin. Thank you, buddy. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Olin.
Thank you, guys.
That is Olin Kreutz. Great, great analysis. And, you know, Lovie Smith always said, David, from week one to week two is the biggest jump a team makes. So hopefully we see some of the things he's talking about with those
offensively, they have to. Yep.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here, and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
No, that was the plan. That was the plan. Both guys were dealing with, you know, health issues during training camp. We wanted to make sure they could both finish the game, so we were going 2-2 there.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. That is the voice of Matt Eberflus, and he is telling you at that point that Nate Davis and Ryan Bates were in a rotation as guards, that one guy didn't get benched, the other guy didn't get hurt, whatever you might have thought as
rotation,
it was ongoing.
Every second series, perhaps.
Yeah, they had a rotation.
And there was a disparity in snap count, as Dustin pointed out earlier in the show, but that might have been also a product of how some series last three plays, some series last seven plays. I don't know. It did sound like maybe Nate Davis, some of that decision was created or influenced by his effort level or effectiveness.
Sure.
It's something to keep an eye on moving forward. The offensive line is going to be something that evolves and develops over time. We'll wait and see. It wasn't very good yesterday. I think we can all agree on that.
But I guess the takeaway, whether we want to believe it or not, is that was a planned rotation. They wanted to flip-flop those guys throughout the game.
Yes.
And they did. And I, honest to God, it appeared as if, like, Davis had a terrible play, and then you didn't see him the next series, like, oh, they've benched him. And then all of a sudden he's back, and my thought was, is Beats hurt? And then he's back, and he did end up playing significantly.
Turned out to be
more.
Just fortunate timing. He had a bad play. He was replaced. Then
and they
he came
did it
back.
Last year with Lucas Patrick and Tevin.
They did it initially. Don't want to go through the entire season, but maybe early on.
No.
You're feeling there's a feel-out process. We're going to get to the calls in a second. I'm going to ask you a quick question.
Please.
Right out of the gate. This first series of the season, I had a question that I don't know if it's answerable or not. But did you have the same thought? 4th and 3 at the 50.
Yeah.
It's 4th and 3 at the 50. Yeah. Matt Eberflus punts.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel like that was because they drafted a punter in the 4th round? And also, did the thought cross your mind, first series of the season, 4th and 3, go for it. You're at midfield at home. Why not?
So that was the first series. Here's what I thought.
I wondered if it was going to be that way all season long because he's got that punter.
And that's a good question. But I felt watching it that they were winning field position and that if they punted that ball, they were going to get it back in good field.
Punt and pin.
And they got it back.
Punt and pin.
And they got it back. They just did nothing with
it. I totally agree with that. But that's look, at the same time, on my Twitter feed, it was Mike McDaniel goes for it on 4th and 8.
Oh, I know.
So the NFL head coaching mantra, the trend is go. You're a midfield. It's the first series of the season.
They did go for it in 4th down later in the game, and they made it, and that was great. I'm just saying, at that point in the game, I felt like it's better to play the field position game. Maybe because you have the punter, I was anxious to see him.
I agree with that.
But it really had to do with winning field position battle early.
Conservative approach, though.
Maybe it is.
From the get-go.
But it worked. They got the ball back. They should have been able to do something with it.
They should have. They got the ball back at the 48 of Tennessee.
Come on, man. Yes. You get it in plus territory.
That's in plus territory.
Jeez.
And they did not take advantage. It's just something that stood out to me. I wonder if it's out to someone else.
I think it's an excellent question, David. And I think that, you know, you're right about drafting a punter would indicate, hey, we're not going to be taking a lot of 4th and 8s here. We're not that team yet. And I think that, you know, Olin was so right when you talk about Keenan Allen, the routes that he runs, and that guy is a third down machine. And we saw that a little bit. But, you know, he did drop one in the end zone. That's too bad. I'll tell you what, they did not get enough opportunities given how good that receiving core can be.
And to be fair, on the next series,
did Keenan Allen get hurt? Did he get
hurt? I don't know if he got hurt. I'm not sure he did.
Okay.
Second series, 4th and 3, they went for it and found Keenan Allen, Mr. 4th down.
There you go. See? here we go. It's going to happen. All right, we should get to the phone lines. We have a lot of people who want to check in. We'll start with Don. Don's on the west side. Hey, Don.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How about that prediction? I'm 1-0, 24-17, right on the head.
Way to go, Don.
I'm the Don you want.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know what that other Don was talking about, but okay, I passed the little meatball stuff. But, yeah, man, I mean, Caleb, you know, he's a rookie. I guess, you know, you can't, you know, put too much on the top with that. So, I'm just going to wait and see, like the other callers say, it's still too early. The defense, you know, They eventually lived up to their billing. I don't like the 3rd and 15 conversion. I don't like the 3rd and 12 conversion. I don't like those. They got to clean that up. I think Darryl Taylor is the perfect situational pass rusher. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I hope he keeps that up. Special teams, Bayless Jones does not need to even think about a kickoff return. Don't think about a punt return. Don't think about fielding the ball. Whatever role they got him in, please just let it be something where he gets the ball quick and doesn't have to wait and think on it, okay? Because I don't know what's up with that guy. But overall, I'm glad we came back. I'm glad we won it, though. So, yeah, let's go. Let's keep going.
Thanks, Don.
Thanks, Don. Good call.
I don't think Velus Jones may have a role on game day next Sunday if they want to opt for Tyler Scott or if Roschon Johnson comes back.
I wouldn't have him active.
I wouldn't either.
I would not. I would have Tyler Scott active. And maybe he – I don't. Again – Keenan Allen, there was something that happened. He limped off at one point. I don't know what
it is. He was not mentioned post-game.
His heel.
As far as a guy who was part of any injury report, something to keep an eye on. He's 32, and he had that issue in the preseason. But as for Velus Jones, I would make a statement to the rest of – I didn't even know.
Totally agree.
To him or whoever needs to hear it, that kind of – play is not acceptable. You have to be held accountable. That would cost him his active spot on the roster.
Yeah, and I think DeAndre Carter proved he's pretty good at it.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Bernie's in the western suburbs. Hey, Bernie.
Good morning, guys. Great show.
Bless you.
Question for you. Why didn't the Bears try to stretch the field more? I think Caleb's longest pass went for 13 yards. Why didn't he try to go long? Is that on Shea Walter?
It's a good question. I wondered the same thing in game because I thought they had done a nice job of that in the preseason. Maybe it was a protection issue. Maybe it was a product of not having the ball long enough. They didn't have very long drives. They only had 56 snaps. But I do think that was part of the problem. They didn't try to stretch the field. You got to take your shots, especially with wide receivers that we've been talking about all preseason that are weapons.
The guy was under siege, first of all.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
The other element is they got nothing going in the running game. So the play action game was non-existent. So you didn't really I felt like there were different moments where you could have. And obviously Keenan Allen was open at one point and he overthrew him early in the game. But I honest to God, I think it was a protection issue.
It had to be because he was under pressure.
And when he took a deep drop, he got sacked for a loss of 19.
And let's be honest here. Caleb Williams, the poise that we complimented so often in preseason, he didn't have all of it yesterday.
Yes.
He did look more rattled than we have seen him.
Oh, yeah.
He did look more tentative than he has shown. And that also is a product. When you're in that space mentally, I don't think you feel as aggressive to take a shot down the field.
John is in Lombard, and he's got a great question that went through my mind as I watched the game. Hey, John.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
How can you have a potential Pro Bowl tight end who's probably one of your best blockers, who's played about 90% of the snaps, has never missed a game, played 27 snaps, okay?
Yep.
You want to talk about max protection. That kid needs to be on the field. You run seam routes. You run tight end screens. He opens up everything.
Yep.
Listen, this kid has been screwed over since he's been here. Fields couldn't read a book. Okay, the kid still puts up good numbers. He's a captain. He's a workhorse. 27 snaps for a kid that has not missed a play in his down in his career. I got to tell you, this Waldron, you want to open up the outside, you got to threaten the inside. And Komet's that kind of guy. And I'll tell you what, if I'm him, I'm looking for an exit if this is the way it's going to be, because this is just he can block, he can catch, he can run, he's a captain. I'm curious to know what the hell is going on.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the phone call.
That went through my head, too, because Gerald Everett had more snaps than Cole Komet.
I think that was a mistake. That was a bad personnel decision.
Mm.
The groupings are going to take on, you know, I think it was one game. And as reluctant as we should be to judge or come to any hard and fast conclusions about Caleb Williams, I think the same is true with Shane Waldron. That doesn't say, you know, you excuse that mistake. I think it had to be an oversight. Cole Komet should be on the field for more than 27 snaps if he's going to be as big of a part of your offense. You're certainly paying him like a guy that should be on the field for more than 27 snaps.
And Gerald Everett had 34.
He doesn't do much for me yet.
Okay. I think he's a pretty good player.
I think he's a pretty good player, but...
Right. But they didn't use the tight end.
There's only one football.
Saying. Yeah.
They didn't use a tight end, and they didn't use a tight end in the way that I felt like, as I alluded to earlier, you move the pocket. Where were those naked bootlegs? Where was the waggle pass? Where were these things that were elements of the preseason offense we saw in a very small glimpse? That's why it felt to me like for the offense, this was the fifth preseason game. Still a very much a feeling out process.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to find...
But Cole Komet's not going anywhere, by the way. He's committed to this organization. He's a hometown kid.
Yes.
He's not looking for the exit.
No.
He's looking for a way to get on the field more and to help this offense kind of figure out what went wrong.
He might be the slugger the Cubs need.
He might be.
Mercedes Lewis had 9 plays.
Yeah.
I think you're going to need him more in Houston.
He had
because they've got good.
They had good defensive ends. He played 9 snaps, I believe.
Yes.
And he probably felt this morning like he played 49 snaps.
All right, we're going to stick with your phone calls. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Emotionally, I was excited. I was really happy to be here, be a Chicago Bear. I was really happy to get out there on the field finally. And you know, get this first game going. Extremely happy now. Extremely happy when I got to the locker room. We got a lot more to get better at, but to get this win, first win in the books, as a rookie starter QB, for myself is unbelievable. And I'm happy. I'm excited. And I'm ready to go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority, and you're hearing the voice of Caleb Williams, who didn't care about the 93 yards passing, kind of maybe, I don't know, did he ever have a 93-yard passing game in college?
I doubt it.
It didn't matter.
Didn't matter.
Because they won the game.
Right.
God bless you, Caleb, for saying that.
Still on pace to hit 4,000 yards. All he has to do is average 244 passing yards per game over the next 16.
Yeah.
He's 3,907 yards away. Right.
He's on track.
Let me ask you this, though.
He's still on track for the first ever 4,000.
If you say so.
He just has to get
it's possible.
There.
It is. Remote, but possible. Do you think there's anybody out there? We're looking at this and we're extolling the virtues of a team that can win with defense and special teams.
Yes.
Because we've seen the Bears traditionally win that way before. This was an ode to 2006, even though, yes, they did have a good offense in 2006. Olin, I apologize. It's 2005, maybe more so. But you can win this way in the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that people are okay with that in Chicago? Bears fans, would you have rather Caleb Williams throw for 350 and 3 touchdowns without a pick and lose or win ugly with him not even breaking 100 yards passing?
Well, I think it's better that they won. I just think it's better that they won, not just for him, for Flusi, for, you know, all the things that add up at the end of the year. We didn't go with 12 wins. We tried to be fairly modest and understand the difficulty of winning in the National Football League. And we both kind of had him at 9-8, as I recall.
Yes.
Which is a significantly better team than they were a year ago. That's a big step up. It's not a giant leap forward. It's a nice step up. And they've got a favorable schedule, etc. But it gets difficult. Their next game is at Houston. That is tough stuff.
Playoff
team.
That's
a seriously good team.
Hostile environment.
A very hostile environment.
Good coach, great quarterback.
And there you go. So I think you look at that and you say they've got to be significantly better to win that game. They got to be able to score points on offense. They've got to figure out. Yeah, and I don't know, David, we didn't see Swift at all in the preseason. And now we saw him.
Hurdling people.
He got better as the game went on.
10 touches.
But you know what? If he hadn't hurdled, if he hadn't gotten the 20-yard carry, he had 9 touches for 10 yards.
That was bad.
On the game, other than that play, which made it, 3 yards a carry, 3 times 4 is 12.
Still, he can do more. They can be better offensively with the line and all the things. I just feel like what happened yesterday, the question is obvious to me. You always take the victory, especially at a time now, season opener. This continues the progress. This keeps the momentum going. The Bears had a lot of momentum this preseason.
Yeah.
A lot of the momentum this offseason. They had a very good free agency period. They had a terrific draft. They had terrific a five-hour infomercial courtesy of HBO. There's a lot of enthusiasm that they can maintain now and continue because they survived and advanced in a way.
Yes.
You lose that game in the manner that they looked like they were going to lose it, 17-0, they fall behind. All of a sudden, today is very different talking about the Bears season. Today, we're doubting everything that we thought that we knew, and that is not a good place to be. So you would rather win with Caleb Williams struggling because you feel like he's going to get better, and you would not – I would follow his lead. When he says he doesn't care about the stats they won, he means it, and he's right.
I'm sure that's true, David, but I'm also sure that he woke up this morning and grimaced thinking about what happened in his rookie debut. It probably wasn't the way he had envisioned it, and that's okay, because the beauty of the NFL and the mystery of the league is that you play all sorts of different teams, and they play in all sorts of different ways. And unfortunately, this was a bad matchup for the Bears. This was a bad matchup for what they want to do on their offense, because the interior strength of the Titans' defensive line threw a real spanner in the works for what the Bears had envisioned.
Interesting. You're right, though. Now changes a little bit, right? The Texans, they have strength on the edge.
More so on the edge than on the inside.
But as we begin to look at what he's up against next weekend, I think you also have D'Amico Ryans, who's a noted. He is to the Texans what Eberflus is to the Bears.
Exactly.
He's a defensive-minded head coach who makes an impact on that side of the ball. So that's a problem for Caleb Williams in his second challenge and his second NFL game. He's got to get over whatever he feels like this morning. He's got to have that commitment to improve. I think he will. This will be good. He'll be better for the struggle.
They're on tape now. So this is not some preseason stuff or any kind of – this is you've got evidence of how you play, what happened, what went wrong. They can work on that and correct it. They can study it and learn from it. Their opponent will do the same thing.
Yes, exactly. And we'll ask DJ Moore this, but I feel like – I wonder what you thought of Caleb Williams' answer to how the speed of the game – affected him. He said it was no big thing, but I think that it showed that it was at least a thing. I don't know how big it was, but he did not adjust quickly enough to that speed that increased as we thought that it would, as Dave Wanstead promised it would. And you saw a guy kind of adjusting and maybe not adjusting to what the speed of the game is differently in the regular season.
All right. We've got DJ Moore. We will bring him in. And we'll chat with him about everything that happened. Hope he's feeling good this morning. Took a couple tough shots.
He did.
But he's hard as nails, and we'll talk to him next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.